So, Scott, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, happy new year.
And to you, and to you.
And am I right in thinking that you're in Denmark?
I am indeed, yes. It's quite cold.
I know. Oh, I can imagine you get it colder there than we do here.
Yeah, we're talking minus nine now.
Oh my God.
So a bit nippy. Lots of layers. And a cup of tea.
Oh my God. Yeah, because when I originally contacted you, I presumed that you'd either be in Wales or be in London. So when you told me that you were in Denmark, it was a lovely shock because, wow, what a great country to be in. And you're living there, aren't you?
Yeah, the last couple of years or so have been quite a journey as far as bouncing all over the place, going from Wales to London to Denmark. It's written itself in many ways. But it's been exciting for sure. But this is the best thing about it. You just don't know what's around the corner. It could be anything.
Oh my gosh. No. And you've been there a couple of years, haven't you?
Yes, I've been here now three years, actually. Moved just towards the end of 2020, start of 2021, around the time that Brexit was going through.
Right. And I remember you mentioning that you got there before Brexit, didn't you? So the legalities were all...
Yeah, so it was in order to be able to get the to cross over as a EU citizen or EU resident, it required me to be in the country and legally sign all the documentation before mm-hmm. Brexit went through on the 31st. But at the time, of course, that was the coronavirus was stopping travel left, right, and centre.
Of course,
it was killing it, and so trying to actually get here to sign those papers was. It was a story in itself. I think it took 36 hours for me to get across.
Oh my God.
To sign a piece of paper.
That is mad.
Yeah, went through Germany and Sweden to Copenhagen and then took a train across Denmark. Oh, it was a nightmare. But I did it. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here. So worth
it. Yeah, and no regrets?
No, not at all. I think there was definitely a period at the beginning moving over. I'd left my entire life behind. I'd left my family, my friends, everything I knew. And I was going into this very strange, unknown territory in many ways. And I think that was very nerve-wracking. I suppose that's natural. You're venturing outside of your comfort zone. But I think within 6 months or so, I had sort of come to the conclusion that it was quite possibly one of the greatest decisions I'd ever made.
Oh, and I bet.
The rest is history now.
Having only been to Copenhagen or Hagen for 3 or 4 days, but I've sort of felt like I've experienced some of Denmark and what a beautiful place it was, you know?
It's one of those places that seems to be, I mean, even for me, in my ignorance, you sort of go, where?
Yeah.
I was there thinking, okay. I mean, you know it exists, but you're not quite sure where it is or what it does or what happens. But I've coming over here and sort of experiencing how it was over here, it's incredibly drastically different for a country that essentially is just over the water. The difference is insane. They've got an awful lot, I mean, a much lower population. Right. Which means, you know, there's not as much in terms of that crowded feeling, unless you go to Copenhagen, for example, where it's like London, especially the prices.
Oh, yes, they were.
yeah, but they've got it right over here. They know what they're doing. The living conditions are sort of much more improved, much more refined. Mm-hmm. You've got much better wages. Your taxes are significantly higher. Which is what most people sort of get scared off by. But what they don't know is that tax money does get invested back into what it should be.
Okay.
So all of these things that we take for granted, back home, as you say, oh yeah, but I'm only paying a small amount of tax. Yeah, but your rubbish collection for your houses or your roads or your healthcare system and everything is all in tatters. Whereas, you know, it's being invested in here. You know, these roads are getting resurfaced all the time.
Wow.
To me, it seems almost like a waste.
I'm going to take you back now. I'm going to take you back to 2016. 20, I know it's a long time ago, 2016, 2017, which is when you were an apprentice. You, if I'm right, you were working in the old BH building.
Oh, back in Llandaff.
Back in Llandaff, BBC Llandaff. And that those were the years that you were an apprentice, obviously with the BBC and Skill Cymru. But how did you get there, Scott? Where did you find out about the apprenticeship and how did you land there?
Do you know what? I have a feeling it was my mum. I think she was sent something on social media or something or other that was, oh, this might be an interesting for Scott. Because a lot of people knew around that time that my heart lied within that industry. Mm-hmm. Film and television has always been something that I've just obsessed about. And I think someone sent something to my mum. She sent it on to me and said, oh, check this out. You should have a look. And I looked at it and went, oh, yeah, but I'll never get that. And that was my immediate reaction was, you know, it was simply out of my league. And then I thought, well, you know, if I don't try, I have no idea. And this assumption that I brought myself to already before anything else was, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And it was, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try. So I filled out, and the application was, it took quite a bit. From what I remember, it was quite intense.
Yeah, was it humongous, like humongously long?
Yeah, lots and lots of pages of different things. And I remember obsessing over every little detail. Every paragraph had to be, you know, I just remember submitting and not hearing anything for, God, it must have been a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. At which point I essentially thought, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I got the offer. And I tell you what, I think I lived at home at the time.
Yeah.
And I just yelled out. I still remember that. Just screamed out, you know, because it was exciting. It really was. And you can, you know, however you see it yourself, but it was taking a step in the direction of something that I was genuinely interested in. Yeah. And so I got the application, and the rest then went from there.
Fantastic. So had you come straight from school or from doing your GCSEs, or had you been working?
So actually, so for 2016, I just moved back from London, because I actually moved down to London when I was 20.
Okay.
I lived down there for about 4 years and right. Moved back. Was it 4 years or 3 years? Something along those lines. And I was working down there in retail, actually.
Okay.
I started as just a sales assistant, worked mm-hmm. my way up to team leader. Then I was responsible for training employees, and then assistant manager, and then branch manager.
Okay, so you could have gone on with that then.
Yeah, it was something that it kind of just happened. I was in the position where I was able to do it. I was quite capable of doing the job.
Yeah.
There wasn't quite the thrill involved with it. It was doable and it was safe, but there wasn't the same thrill. And I remember moving back for unrelated reasons anyway. And then it was, well, do you know what? Why don't I give it a try? I'll come back to this if it goes wrong. But
exactly.
If I don't try now, I'm not going to get to try it again. And so I wanted to give it a go. And that resulted in that big me yelling out, going, "Hey!"
That's fantastic. Yeah. And then you started at the BBC. Obviously, you weren't living in Cardiff at the time, but you weren't far away, were you, going back and forth from home?
No, I was. I mean, I lived up towards between Usk and Monmouth way.
Right.
So it was about 40 minutes or so to get to Llandaff. Mm. I actually, en route was Zach, who was another apprentice at the same time. We lived relatively close, so we used to lift share to and from all the time. And it was exciting. It was a nice journey. It wasn't too bad to do. And it didn't bother me that there was a journey involved. You got a job or another.
Because sometimes that can be a factor with a lot of people. Because the moving down to Cardiff sometimes can be so expensive that they feel they have to travel, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine now it must be getting even higher in the cost of living within the capital.
The only good thing I would say is because the relocation of the BBC in Central Square in Cardiff, the train station is right opposite, so that helps a lot of people.
I remember the building taking place, the construction of it, as I was leaving. They'd already put the plans through. They'd given us an idea of what it was going to look like. And at least you've got connections there. I'm assuming there's going to be bus and train connections and whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's easier because Llandaff is quite tucked out of the way.
It is a bit, isn't it? It's lovely, but it is, you're right.
Beautiful, yeah. yeah.
And tell me about the sort of programs you're working on, because I know you met quite a few famous people within your year as well, didn't you?
So at the time, a couple of different programs we worked on. We worked on X-Ray, which was sort of very similar to a program called Cowboy Builders I used to watch, but it was investigating local sort of stories in the area. And then they'd go out and they'd shoot them and they'd create a program exploring this. And that was great for researching, actually, because I did a lot of research for that, which was investigating studies, different people who had the same problem. They were reporting this person or whatever, and then we'd investigate. Quite a small team as well, so it was quite cozy. It was a great place to start, considering we moved on to things like Crime Watch Live, The One Show, and Bargain Hunt, which are considerably bigger teams.
Yeah, I bet, because Bargain Hunt's massive, isn't it?
Very. Yeah, and it's very intense as well, because if I remember, I'm not sure if it's the same now, but they do, I think they shoot 4 episodes on a weekend.
Wow, like, okay.
Naturally, of course, a lot of them are taking place at the same time. Mm. So, you know, it's not quite as extreme as that, as you stood there going from one episode to the next. But the sheer size of it and the sort of go, go, go was very different. You know, these are big level productions. Crime Watch, which was shot live.
All right, okay.
They did a lot of reconstructions and stuff for episodes, but then they also did the Crime Watch Live, which I went on, which was incredible. Mm. It was phenomenal. They had a big truck, massive truck. They had drones and stuff to do overhead shots. And of course, because it was live, it was all go and all the police cars were there on the set. It was really quite incredible. But you got to experience the different types of productions, mm-hmm. from X-Ray, which was a skeletal crew, to something as large as Crime Watch, which is teams.
Yeah.
And the difference was fantastic, because you can get an idea then of how it all works and which sort of ones do you fit in better with. Do you fit in better with a nice little tight-knit crew, or do you prefer the big, fancy, elegant productions?
Yeah, I bet you learn a lot of different skills working on each of these different productions as well.
As far as skills go, there was always something I could explore. And I think one of the biggest things for me was actually that they encouraged it. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit nervous that I was essentially going to be a runner for whatever I worked on.
Yeah.
And whilst in many ways I was, they very much encourage you to reach out and say, can I do this? Can I try this? Could you show me how this works? And before I know it, for example, I was entrusted with researching, which is, you know, above runner, or camera equipment, or taking some shots. I remember doing some shots for, it must have been Crime Watch, actually, thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And I remember Crime Watch, I even did the casting.
Wow, okay.
And it was fantastic, because, you know, all you have to do is sort of say, would it be possible for you to show, can I shadow you? Or can I ask to look into this? Mm-hmm. And they're just so welcoming with it. It's just absolutely, the curiosity is what they love.
Yeah.
And they can see that in you. If you've got that drive, it doesn't matter if you're not qualified. They're not going to put you out there on your own and go, here you go. Right, I want it on my desk by Wednesday.
Exactly.
But that sort of level of encouragement to help you sort of go, yeah, actually, I want to give that a go.
Yeah, and there's trust there as well, isn't there?
Very much so. I think it is nice knowing that it speaks a lot about Skilled Cymru. They trust the people that Skilled Cymru have chosen to work with.
Yeah.
So if Skilled Cymru have brought you on, the BBC already has faith in the team at Skilled Cymru, mm-hmm. to know that these guys mean business. They might not be experienced, but they're passionate.
Yeah.
They know what they want, they're going to drive for it, and they're going to work for it.
So how did you get on, Scott, with the diploma work, the work that you came in to do at Skilled Cymru? How did you find that? Did you find that married well with going in and working at the BBC and then coming out and doing a week's block work at Skilled Cymru?
It was definitely, as far as sort of the paperwork itself versus the experience overhaul. I think the structure of how the I would call it coursework, I think, for want of a better word, is very much tied into the roles and responsibilities. It very much allows you as a person to start analyzing what it is that you've done. Because sometimes you'll get a question or there'll be a section to fill out and you'll go, oh, actually, I did this. And I remember that I used to take photos and notes when I was at BBC for when I came into the office so that I had not evidence per se, but my own notes to refer to. Me, I'm not great with coursework. When it comes to written things,
Always.
yeah, I put pen to paper and I struggle. In fact, I did with the course, being perfectly honest. And if it wasn't for Sue at the time, and Nadine and Matt, I think I would have been a lot worse off. But it was nice having the break as well, because I think when you're at BBC, or everyone goes off in their separate companies, separate areas, you don't really see each other.
No, that's true.
You might be at Rovelock over Llandaffôr now in the centre. So you might not actually get the opportunity to see the people you're also on a course with, but you have that break. And at the time, it was Pinewood
That's
Studios.
it. Yeah. It's called Great Point Selling Studios now.
That's a great building to be in. But that was a nice opportunity, a nice break from sitting in with all the professionals to go back to the learning environment, being with the people who were also doing the course with you. You had an opportunity to catch up and you'd see them. And it was because you are essentially a family, that team of us, we were very close. I'd like to think so. Everyone there was really, they were great people, really great people. And we were all
Definitely.
together. And so that time coming back together to catch up was really motivational. It kept you going.
Yeah, definitely. I think we get the same response now, Scott, from people who are starting off on their apprenticeship. They come in for their first block learning in September. They all go away for 8 weeks, and I've been talking to them over email and stuff, and they're all looking forward to coming back because they haven't seen each other, you know?
That's it. There's that separation sort of thing. Your new work environments is daunting. It's a lot to take in. And I think as long as you keep that sort of tie and you're still connected with the people that are also on the same journey that you are.
Yeah,
So you know you're
definitely.
not alone. You know that other people are probably experiencing the same nerves as you and they're going through the same steps. And you get to come back together and you work off of that. And that keeps you going. That drive,
Yeah,
that
exactly.
kept you going. I like that. I did enjoy it.
Yeah. So during your apprenticeship, you mentioned to me that you were loving what you were doing. You were loving all the work you were learning behind the camera. But during your apprenticeship, you had a change of heart, didn't you? You had a little bit of a light bulb moment and thought, is this what I want to do? I will put all this to use, but is it exactly what I want to do?
Yeah, it was I've always wanted to be an actor. It was always sort of ingrained in me in some shape or form. And I think having moved to London, by the time I'd moved back, I'd let it go. I realized that I wanted to be in the industry as a whole, and then I think it was again shooting for Crime Watch. Shooting X-Ray, I did a scene for X-Ray. And when I did the casting then for Crime Watch as well, I started realizing my passion and my love was actually for being in front of it rather than behind it. I whilst I did enjoy it, I knew that there was this part of me that still wanted to be performing. And I still remember getting, oh, I can't remember how far through the course it would have been now, but it would have been over halfway or so. And coming in and talking to Sue about where to go from here, which was, I was looking into what the next step was for me. And I was extremely nervous about it because I thought, this opportunity in production is fantastic. I even remember, talking to my parents about it. And it's a difficult one for them to understand because you're there with, a potential for a career within production, solid. And you want to trade that for so much risk. And it was, why? What is it? It's just, I've come this far because I've chased my instinct. I've done what I wanted to do. If I stop now, I'm going back on what got me this far. And the nice thing is that with the production qualification, for example, had a change of heart, I could come back. You still
Yeah.
got that experience. You still got that knowledge. You can always, investigate that and push it forward again. Don't burn bridges, of course. I mean, there's no reason to, but keep your options open, but definitely go with what your heart is telling you. And for me, that was performance. I
Right.
got through the diploma and realized that I wanted to go to drama school.
Right.
And yeah, I remember going and talking to Sue about it because it was a difficult one to confess, because I was like, well, how am I gonna be seen badly or whatever? And honestly, no, it was an awful lot better than I thought it was gonna be.
Okay.
It was very much confusing, I think,
Yeah.
because why would you go into doing production if you wanted to go? But I think most people forget that this is part of the industry.
Yes.
If I was in front of the camera when I was in production, then people need to understand that it incorporates all of it. You're still within that industry.
Yes, you are. You are.
Otherwise, being on a production course, that would have made no sense to be in front of the camera. And yet that
No.
happened. And that's part of it all. It all comes under this industry you're looking to go into. And you'll find as well, one of the things with Skill Cymru in the course, it allowed me to experience so many different things that made my ambitions much clearer.
So you just made the decision, so you did you obviously wanted to finish your diploma, yeah, your year with the BBC.
Very much so.
And I made the decision to go to drama college. Did you have the right qualifications to get into drama college?
Yeah, so actually it was the diploma that got me into university or drama school.
Okay.
Had it not been for the qualification with Skill Cymru, I wouldn't have made it that far, because I
Okay.
actually got rejected before in the past, because A levels was my highest, I believe, and or A levels they but I didn't have very good grades at A levels,
Okay. Yeah.
and the qualification was actually more valuable to the universities than my A levels and my GCSE grades or whatever. So
Fantastic.
when I provided that to them, I think I had about four or five offers or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but
Amazing.
most of the ones I applied to, because you can only apply for, I can't remember what it was now. This is going back a bit.
Yeah.
But there was a few offers that came in, and I had the luxury then of organizing it and going, oh my God, I got this choice now. What's going on?
That's fantastic.
I actually set up a few auditions. There was three in London for different drama schools, but the first one was LCM,
Right.
which was my first choice.
Oh, fantastic.
And before the second audition, I had an unconditional offer come through,
Wow.
so I turned the others down because that's the one I wanted.
Brilliant.
It was just like, whoa, wow. But they wanted, it was the diploma that got me that far.
So you got into drama school, college, uni, and did it all this happen around the same time? Because Skill Cymru,
Yeah,
and your
yeah.
apprenticeship would have been September to September, wouldn't it? So did you
Yeah,
literally
so
hop
happening
on
around
one
the same
bus and
time, it
oh my
did
gosh.
exactly on top of each other. That's yeah, bang on it. It was a case of we were wrapping up the diploma, and I have a feeling, if memory serves me, the course officially ended somewhere in the 3rd week of September, and I
Sounds
was
right.
due to start uni the 1st week. So I'd actually got to the point where I was supposed to go off to uni before the course had finished, which proved a little bit problematic because they wanted to see to double check the qualification. Fortunately, it didn't actually matter as much because it was unconditional in the end. But the qualification didn't come through till October, so it was a bit of a. But the key there was communication. So not everything lines up, and the best thing you can do is talk with the people responsible that are asking for certain things, explain the situation, if needs be, ask them to put them in touch with the people for Skill Cymru or whatever it was. Just
Yeah.
keep that communication open, be honest, because we're all human. We know things don't always line up. So I'd completed the coursework by coming back every so often as I was due to move down to London to start my degree.
Oh
So
my
it was all a
gosh.
bit of a chaotic on top of each other. It was
It was all happening.
Yeah, but it worked out. It worked out.
Fantastic. So you do your move to London, and start on 3 years of drama school, yeah?
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah, it was a honours degree. So started end of 2017. That would have been, wasn't it? September 2017, and went on till 2020. So 3 years, and brutal 3 years.
Yeah, because I'm tying in your dates there, Scott. 2020 was lockdown. March 2020 was lockdown. So what happened to you? Yeah. You in your final year?
Yeah, that was quite an experience, actually. That was something like, well, of course, naturally, no one knew what to do. No one had any idea. We had no experience with this. We had no precautions or measures in place. As far as information from the government, it was contradictory. So everything was sort of, do this, don't do that, do this. And no one knew what to do. And bearing in mind, I'm in drama school. It's a physical course. I'm standing performing on stage. I'm standing performing with multiple scene partners. We're all in a room together. And I think it was final year, I had completed one of my two third year performances.
Right.
So we'd actually wrapped on one of the performances, which was incredible, absolutely incredible. And we were starting rehearsals for the second one. And I think we were about 2 weeks into rehearsals when all of a sudden our director stands up and says, everyone, can you come around a second? And we all came around and the school's closing.
Right.
And we just sort of went, what? How does that work? We're supposed to be performing in 3 weeks. And yeah, unfortunately, because of the situation, the entire college was closing down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going to happen yet, but as for now, this production's on hold, and they had to bench it. We ended up then doing the rehearsals over video calls for quite a while, which was interesting to say the least. And we ended up performing them most of the time within our own setup. So a lot, because of course we're all training to be within the industry, we've all got essentially studios set up in our own places to do self-tapes.
Mm-hmm.
So we were using those to record our scenes, to send the scenes off to be marked. It was a mess. It was compared to the, you know, we just finished the first performance where we sold out over the 3 days completely. It was incredible. And, you know, we've gone from that to filming our own scenes in our houses, so to speak.
Oh, damn. No audience.
No audience, which was bizarre. And it's there, you're going, I don't really know how they're supposed to market in the same way. But they're looking for traits, you know, what's your character's objective, you know, the emotion, your reaction, who are you looking at? It was an awful lot that was being marked anyway, but it was just a surreal experience because no one had ever done it before because we had no idea about it.
I don't know about you, but I hadn't been on a Zoom call since, before that.
No, I hadn't. I mean, I think we're lucky we're all in London with good internet connection. Could you imagine trying to do that up in the valleys?
Oh, my God.
Blimey.
It'd have been
if there
a
was somehow some college in Brecon Beacons or something, and you're there going, So I think we were kind of lucky in a way that we all had good internet because, you know, there's about 18 people on a call.
Oh, God.
So that was quite something.
So it must have been quite hard. It was your final year. It's supposed to be that sort of hard work year, but a joyous year where you can all sort of finish together and go out and celebrate. And you didn't have that, I suppose, did you?
No, sadly, that was probably the thing I think most of us felt we missed out on. As far as graduation goes, our graduation was cancelled.
Oh.
So our graduation is held at Twickenham Stadium.
Right, okay.
And it was completely cancelled. They didn't even say we've rearranged it. They've said, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to hold a graduation in any way. The final 3 months or whatever, where everyone comes together, we do the final performances and we say goodbye, essentially. Mm. No one was out of their homes. We were all stuck inside. We'd basically found out then from the systems if we'd passed or not. At a certain time we can log in and see the final, you know, and that was it.
Oh my gosh,
it was all of that. I granted that's not the reason you go to do it in the first place, but
no.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think anyone is kidding themselves if they say they don't somewhat look forward to that moment where you graduate, where you know it's real.
Exactly. You know, and I write and thinking it's the right time at the end of that third year to try and get an agent or be represented?
Yeah, so fortunately, a lot of the searching, the understanding of how to get casting agents involved, how to get representation, took place just before lockdown actually happened.
Right.
But it was more, you will need to do this at some point rather than do it now.
Right.
Except I kind of thought it would be the perfect opportunity to start now, because I just thought if there's going to be multiple drama schools in London, big drama schools, agents are going to get flooded with all of these applications from all the drama schools. Why don't I try and see if I can get ahead of it? Because I like, you know, as far as communication goes and meeting new people and talking with them, that's much more my scene than written paperwork. So I was there going, I'll use this time. So I started sending out my showreel applications and stuff for agencies just to see if anything would bite. And actually I had, I think it was about a week, I had two offers in.
Fantastic.
Which was a bit weird.
Yeah.
I think no one else had actually started sending them at that point. And I think for the first time in my course, I kind of felt like I did something right off my own back. So anyway, I ended up meeting with the second agent I met with was actually one that was, I really, really wanted to work with. And then had signed the contract before graduating. And that was that. So that was incredibly exciting. It was keeping ahead of it, because there was so much, even though you weren't going to be in the theater halls or in rehearsals, there was still work you could be doing. There were still things that you could be doing to ensure your future.
Yeah, I see.
And so it was just a case of seizing that opportunity and jumping at it when we could. And I did. And I think it was a good feeling, actually, because I know a lot of people then struggled with finding representation, not anything necessary to do with them personally, but the situation where there was not only a lot of people applying, but everyone was stuck inside and not able to go to casting calls or anything.
Yeah, of course.
And so, I think one of the worst things was that new actors on the scene were at such a loss because all the theatres were shutting down, which meant all of the trained professionals with accreditations and experience were also out of work. So they were also looking for the same jobs we would have been looking for.
Yes, of course.
And so we were much further down the list. And I think that was quite sad. You know, you graduated and you got to that point of excitement only to find that the whole thing's gone up in air. And of course, then with everyone on TV going, people need to retrain for different career lines or whatever because it's not a valuable career. It's like, well, what are you sat doing at home watching all day? It's going to be TV shows.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just annoyed me because it was just like, people, a lot of the time it's woof.
Definitely. And you were still in London at this point, obviously, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I was. Yeah. I've never heard it so quiet. They actually closed Heathrow.
I remember the pictures in the news, you know, it was just...
I took a lot for my family, actually, because they were asking. And of course, there were police everywhere. So it was a different scene entirely. But we lived relatively close to Heathrow and we had gotten used to the planes all the time.
Yes, of course.
And we walked out and it was silent on our balcony. And we were just there going, okay, I've got a video that just says, I know this looks stupid, I'm just filming the sky, but it's silent.
It's empty.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Not right. This is weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, my daughter was living in London at the same time. She was there for 8 years. And that's exactly the same point she made, because she lived in an apartment with a balcony. And she said, Mum, there are no planes. What's going on?
It's really weird. You know? It was because you do adapt. You get used to the street noise, the sirens, and the planes going overhead every 45 seconds. So when all of that's cut and it's silent, it's really unsettling. It feels quite post-apocalyptic, you know.
Yeah.
It should be in a film.
Weird. So when you got you got an agent, did you have to decide on a stage name, or did you keep your name, so to speak?
Well, I wanted originally I wanted to keep my name. I think at one point I thought about changing to a stage name and then thought, oh, do you know what? I'm never going to remember it. Someone's going to call out for me and I'm not going to turn around. So I just thought maybe I'll make it easier on myself and stick with the same name. And as I went to register my name, I found that there was an actor in America that had registered my name, I think, 3 months prior. I could not believe it, with the exact same spelling. I just could not believe it. I thought, oh my God, what? Where's that come from? So I thought, right, well, I need a new name. And it took a lot, but it was basically, all I wanted was Welsh heritage in some form. I wanted it to be, that was my USP at the end of the day. I wanted to incorporate the fact that I'm very proud to be Welsh. I want that to be somewhat obvious. And of course, with my criteria, and if I go back to a Welsh accent, which I won't do for you now, but if I could do that, it might be something that would help me within the career line. So I ended up going with Cadell.
Yeah, I like Cadell.
Yeah, so my stage name is Scott Cadell now, which, if I can remember correctly, as I was looking at it, something like the Thunder, Master of Thunder or something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I liked it. I thought it was obviously Welsh. It seemed to be something that would promote that, so I thought that would be a good choice.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any, well, certainly no Scott Cadell, you know, which is great, isn't it, to be the only one.
I do get Cadell a lot though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and because that's two D's, isn't it? If you put two D's in, it's Cadell or something. But I think otherwise it's been okay. I'm still not completely used to a stage name. It still seems weird.
No, I like it. I like it. So so basically, we're coming to the end of your third year. What about the academic work? I suppose you had a lot of practical work. Was there any academic sort of writing of dissertations or anything at the end of your third year?
I found it to be rather heavy for the coursework side of things, I think, with written work, because not heavy in terms of comparatively to a course, but more to do with just my own personal struggles. Writing, the sort of written aspect, sitting with pen and paper, has always been something that I've struggled. I'm very much a practical guy. So coming up against that sort of hurdle was a challenge. It was. I think I'm sure there's probably other people on the course that were struggling as well, maybe just covering it a little better. But I think for some people it came quite naturally, but it doesn't come naturally to me. So I was very nervous about the impact that would have, because I'm going out to BBC and I'm excelling or whatever in the work that I'm doing there. But as soon as I come back to Pinewood at the time, and I'm sat down doing the paperwork, are they going to see that as being the way I work in BBC as well? Is this reflective of my own performance, or is this something else? And I got really nervous about how that would be perceived. But fortunately, and this is something that I will sing till the day I die, the genuine support that Sue gave me, and Nadine, and Matt as well, actually, to be fair, the support that I received during what was the most difficult time of that course for me is the reason I got through it. Had it not been for that, because I'm not sure what it was, but I was explaining it to them, saying, something's not right. I struggle with this. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And it was surreal, but they could see that I wanted it. And they helped me through that. And of course, I found out why later down the line.
Because tell me a little bit about your diagnosis. How old were you when you got diagnosed? Because it was quite far on, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So, I mean, I was 26 when I was diagnosed with ADHD. It took about 2 years actually to get the assessment. 2 years of multiple tests, a lot of examinations I had to do, and things they put me through, meetings and discussions, all kinds of stuff. It was a very long process, very thorough, which I'm kind of proud that they do that. But that must have been, well, I'd graduated uni as well before I was diagnosed. So that must have been, what, 3 years after I graduated Skill Cymru.
Wow.
So for that entire period of time, I was having difficulties that I didn't know why. And it was heartbreaking. I always said one of the main things, one of the easiest ways of me describing to people was that I had to work twice as hard to get half the result. In order for me to get just half of what someone would do naturally, I was putting in twice as much work. And what a lot of people weren't seeing was behind the scenes. So it would be very simple to see that I was lazy or that I was not able to, or disinterested or whatever. But I was going home and I was still working, trying to do the things that I couldn't do in class, but not wanting to show someone. So I was keeping it behind the scenes. And that was one of the hardest things for both Skill Cymru and uni,
And uni.
was how I was perceived.
Was this affecting you at school as well?
Yeah, so I actually the when we went through all the sort of school paperwork and everything over the years, which they assessed everything, the signs were there. But unfortunately, our understanding of these things has come a long way since. And I think going back to when I was in school, when I was young, the understanding wasn't quite there. People weren't as aware of it, and it was very easily dismissed as an enthusiastic, distractible boy. And I was just some energetic kid that was easily distracted, and that was just who he was. And it was just, oh, you'll grow out of it. And I think when I started taking life as an adult, I still had these difficulties. And I was like, well, hang on a minute, I'm supposed to have grown out of it. What's going on? And I think one of the most misunderstood things when it comes to ADHD is that it's a neurological issue.
I
It's
see.
not you're distracted. It's your brain is wired differently. It doesn't do the same things in the same ways. And I think it's not a case of like, oh, I don't, the term ADHD is like, oh yeah, squirrel. You know, and it's like, okay, yeah, no, that's not quite what it is, actually. It's your mind is not able to perceive. You look at a piece of paper too long and it just turns into a different language, or you know, it starts jumping off the page and starts forming pretty colors or something. You know, it just, your mind isn't able to take it in. No matter how many times you reread and rewrite, your brain is not doing much with that. But when it comes to stimulus, when it comes to physical, with BBC, for example, going out on those shoots, I was locked in. The focus was there. I was ready and I knew exactly what was going on because it was stimulating my brain.
So let's to end our chat, let's talk about how, so Denmark, how you got to Denmark and what you're doing in Denmark.
So over here now, just before moving over, I had to sort of pretty much put film production and that sort of stuff behind me for now, simply because the opportunities over here aren't quite going to be the same with the language barrier. So I took the opportunity to start thinking, what can I do within my field that I could give a go? That included voiceover work because, of course, I can record from my studio here. Which was a good opportunity. And I think I came up with the idea of trying to just give YouTube a go, which was actually just a hobby. It wasn't with any intention of doing anything. It was merely just that'll give me an opportunity to do some editing, some filming work, voice work. It ties in all of the elements that I love doing. And I could put something out there and I'd, you know, be proud of that. So I gave it a go and I don't think I was expecting it to go quite the way it went. And I think it took me by surprise. I've tried things in the past and it's fallen off or whatever. I've lost interest in it. But this time around, I stuck with it and it grew. And before I knew it, then I had the opportunity to become a partner in the creator program with YouTube. So I'm official partnered with YouTube now. And
Fantastic.
it has just allowed me, for example, it's not something that is full time for me at this moment in time. Who knows what the future holds? But it's certainly a nice way of using the areas of expertise I've got, creating something to put out there, and of course, earning. Now, you know, I have the opportunity to make money from it, which is
Fantastic.
fantastic. So it's a good way to use those skills.
Yeah, so that's you. So, because I didn't realize, I thought I knew it was out there, but I didn't realize people could make a living out of doing things like on YouTube and being influencers and all that. So I'm being educated myself, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely brutal. You're your own responsible for your own progression.
Yeah.
There's no telling you you turn up at this time, you leave at this time, you've got this to do.
No,
You're
of
mapping out
course.
your own channel, your own design. You've got to learn from for every time you get someone who's disappointed with something or the reactions you get, you're going to have to learn that positive people are good, and there are always going to be people that are knocking it, your content, whatever it is, and don't take it to heart, but keep going. Otherwise, it's just going to break you. But there could be a career there. There could be something there for you.
I imagine as an actor, that is something you have to sort of take on board, isn't it? Because there's going to be good reviews, bad reviews. You're not going to get one job, you're going to get the other. It's, you
Probably
know.
the most hardest element of the performing arts is the ability to let criticism brush off. I think everyone sort of say, you'll find that everyone will say the same thing. Don't let it get to you. But it's easier said than done. Now, they're right. You shouldn't. You have to understand that if you're going to focus on one negative out of a bunch of positives, you're looking for a bad review. You can't align with everyone all the time, 100%. There's always outliers. So, but what you can do is take that criticism as feedback. Can you learn something from that? Is there an opportunity there for you to take that and improve your own performances, your own editing, whatever it is you're doing? Can you learn from that and use that to your advantage so that those disappear and they find something else? But there will always be someone. But if you're putting yourself out there, if you're on a team, if you're filming, whatever it is, you're opening yourself up for criticism or negative feedback or something or other. And you have to have the ability to take that on board in the right way and not let it get to you.
So Scott, do you see yourself staying in Denmark for the foreseeable future?
I'm here for good now. I was
Oh,
literally I was there thinking, do you know what? I'll give it a year or so.
Yeah.
This was that would have been 2 years ago now, but
Oh.
I'll give it a year, see how it goes, and if I've got the opportunity, I'll move back. And before that year was up, I realized I wasn't going back.
No.
I'll still make the journeys over. I still come over for holidays and to see the family and stuff. For work, for shooting, I'll be over as well. But for the most part now, my future is in Denmark. I still like to think that I'll work within the UK.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, it's still a massive place when it comes to production, filming, and all of that. It's second to US as the biggest. So definitely worth hanging on to. But the lifestyle and the direction that things have taken over here has been just something else. I don't really know how to summarize it. It's something I never could have expected in my wildest dreams. But that's it. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you don't know where you're going to end up. And until you live it, you do it, you realize, yeah, this is it. This is great. So yeah, and you just take it to the next step then,
That's
don't
it. Yeah. And as long as you roll with it and as long as you're enjoying it, then that's all you could want, really, isn't it?
you? Definitely,
Think that's the most important
definitely,
part. But
definitely.
it's a little bit of a different journey compared to some of the people on the apprenticeships, I'm sure. Quite a different path, quite extravagant with, in my typical fashion, not really knowing what I'm
You know what? We're all the same. It's just that some of us hit a stumbling block, you know, sooner rather than later, and we all one sticks to this and one sticks to that. That's what's nice about everybody. We're all different, you know.
I still, to this day, I think one of the most important things for me regarding Skilled Cymru is that people need to be aware that if you're going to take on, say, a diploma in a certain element of production, don't feel like that's what you have to do.
No.
It's a game and a journey, and you will learn more about yourself doing this sort of thing than you ever will otherwise. And if you
Yes.
find yourself moving on to a different line, choosing a different angle, then allow yourself to do that. This experience, what you can learn, and the opportunities you're given are there for a reason. If they wanted me to sit at a desk doing one thing, they wouldn't have given me the opportunities that I had in BBC and at Skill.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have bothered.
No.
And it's about finding that and the importance of just knowing, even with an extreme sort of change in fields and even where I live, that
Yeah.
stemmed from the fact that when I started a diploma in production through Skill and through BBC, it was the first time I felt like I was doing what I wanted to do. And I was exploring what I wanted to do.
Yes.
And that set the rest.
Yeah.
So
Fantastic.
I just want people to know that. You just don't be afraid to branch out.
No,
Try and find
exactly.
out who you are, what it is you like. Take the
Yeah.
opportunities. Because it doesn't
Definitely.
always end up in the same place. And that's
No.
great. That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's how
That's
you learn.
fabulous. Fabulous. Scott, thank you very much for taking up your time to talk to me today.
Been a pleasure. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, and have a lovely long life living in the wonderful
Oh,
Denmark.
it's cold though.
Get
Gotta get used to
your
that.
thermals on.
All right then.